So how did you get involved in music? What was the kind of the catalyst that got you involved with music?
I got into the music when I was like 8 years old. So I don't really remember not being into music. It was just it was something that was already. I guess I was just drawn to rock and roll really young, like about 8 years old or something like that. I remember MTV was kind of a deal with, you know, a lot of videos and stuff like that. So maybe that's what turned me on, but it was never sports or anything. It was immediately rock and roll. And, you know, I took my first guitar lesson at like 9 years old. So it was really, it hit me really young is how I kind of got into being into rock and roll.
Okay. Your voice is, It's pardon the cliche, but it's like something that like dreams are made of, man. You got like kind of like this Kiss thing going on, you know, then with like a little Sammy Hagar at the same time. It's like, it's really out there. How did you train yourself to sing like that?
Oh, the first time I was in eighth grade and I got this band together to play in front of my school, and I said, I'm the singer. And I was the singer. Like, it was just, I was the singer. And that was it. And I remember people saying, your voice is no good. And are you guys going to find a singer? You know, like little kids ask me that. And it was just, I'm the singer. And, I never trained. I was in choir, you know, in school, but, like in school, but I never trained. It just, I was the singer and that was it. Like, people said I had a horrible voice and it stayed pretty bad through high school gigs and through all that stuff, but it just got a little more refined after I'd done it a while. But I think I was supposed to be singing. You know, I've always been a singer, so it just was very natural to be the lead guy singing for me. No training or anything like that.
Especially like in the Lost Art of Rock and Roll. I mean, you have like this very heavy, and then you go into that scream, and I see, the thing is, I don't even want to call it a scream, because when you think of a scream, you think of something less refined. It's more like a wailing. It's just, you're going through octaves and all over the place. It's beautiful. Like, how do you do that?
Like 2 years ago, I went with there's this guy playing piano, and I went all the way up. I went the octaves on the piano, and we went. It was like 4.5 octaves that I was doing this huge stretch of octaves. And this guy was pretty blown away. And I've never done that before to actually see how high I could go. And I don't know if you can practice that. I think I just can do that naturally. But I've heard you can take lessons and really practice to have this huge octave thing, but for me, it's just, that's just how I sing. I can just, it's a gift, I guess. It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing to have, to be able to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how did Electric Sister get together?
I well, Bay Area scene is not super tight, but it's tight enough that if you are out going to shows, you're going to run into people, you know, but it's not. There's so much diversity in rock and roll and music in the Bay Area, but I'd run into Jason, the guitar player, at a couple shows that I was performing at. This East Bay Rats, this motorcycle gang, we'd play there, motorcycle club. My band would play out there, and
Little Sons of Anarchy thing going on there, huh?
it was a little more relaxed.
Okay.
We would play, and he'd come up to me and be like, dude, you're a great singer, you know, we should try to do something. And he was in a bunch of projects, and so we didn't really connect. But I knew him from the scene. And then Nick, our other guitar player, I started singing for a band that he got together. We only did about 3 gigs, but Nick and I kind of hit it off really good. When this other band I was in had this show, and Jason showed up to see the band that was opening up for us, and he was like, oh man, it's you, what's up? And he said, I'm getting this project together, and you should come try to sing for us. And so We got it together, and, you know, he gave me a song to write some lyrics to and put a melody to, and I went over to his house and sang it and got together, and we're like, let's do it. And then we got Nick involved, and we've had about two different members coming in out of Electric Sister, but those guys were super good stepping stones for us to have in the band. But Pete, our bass player now, he had seen us at the Viper Room in L.A., and his band played with us in San Francisco, and they were really blown away by us. And then he started going to all the shows in Los Angeles when we would play, and then he'd bring his friends, and then his friends brought their friends, and then all of a sudden there's this big to-do down in L.A. when Electric Sister was playing, which was all because of Pete, you know. And then he ended up, our bass player left, and he's like, dude, I'm going to play bass for you guys. So,
nice.
He joined the band, and he was super stoked, and he's, you know, it's good to have that vibe in the band, you know. It's a good deal. It's been a big, good dream for him. That's awesome. So, yeah.
So what's the creative process like for the band? You just said before that, you know, you had gotten some music and you had to write lyrics to it. And like, how do you guys work together as a team?
Well, I mean, some songs come off of a jam. Like The Lost Art of Rock and Roll was some riffs that Jason had together that were cohesive riffs, but they just weren't arranged right. And he brought them in and we jammed on them for a while. And had no lyrics, it was really bone dry. And then we got into pretty good arrangements, and then I improvised the lyrics and stuff, and then Jason and I sat down and one night, and once all the music was written, and we sat down and wrote the lyrics to that and made it a little more telling and tried to have a little bit more of a cool rock and roll vibe to the song lyric-wise. And those two songs come from just a few riffs outside of the band, and then we bring them in and we really jam on them, and it seems like we jam on them for a while, and then they turn into something. But, you know, nothing is ever too precious, it feels like, you know. It's like things you really like, it's like something's going to come along that's better. So it's hard to just write something and make it like that fit. You know, everything morphs, especially with five people in the band, everybody has something to say about the riffs, you know.
How did it feel to work with Kyle Holm? I mean, he's worked with a lot of really good musicians. I mean, personally, I love Matt Costa. I know a lot of people aren't into, like, you know, the folky, like, rock stuff, but I think he's great. And then, like, Lit, Sugar Cult, Real Big Fish, great bands that everybody knows. How did it feel to be associated with him and let him engineer your work?
Well, it's great to be associated with him. But the funny thing about that guy is he's really funny. He has a lot of one-liners that he's really quiet, and then he'll say a one-liner out of nowhere that's funnier than what anybody has said for like the last 2 hours. and you like start laughing. It's like, where did that come from? But as far as him and working with them, he has really good ears. He, you know, the sound of the Lost Art of Rock and Roll, the record is really, his engineering and his, you know, his ears were amazing. I have really bad ears. You know, I just try to go in there and sing, but this guy, he heard what was going on. And I think that was the big difference in that record sounding strong, you know?
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the mood of the album?
The mood of the album is flamboyant, monster, you know, it's really kind of over the top to me. It's like a big over the top rock record. You know, I don't know what other people think about it, but I think it's just this big rock record, and there's just not, that sound is not, not a lot of bands are doing big, huge sounding rock records right now. So that for me is a big accomplishment, just to go against the grain and not make some, you know, some hipster record that's like, you know, everybody's listening to right now. It's like, no, there's, you know, I remember there was this interview with Chris Novoselic in Nirvana, when Nirvana was big on the scene, and he said that they had to get rid of all the Harley Davidson stripper music that was going on, you know, which Nirvana did. They got rid of,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But to me, you know, I think that stuff needs to come back. I think that stuff has been so put to death that type of, like, my guitar player, like, Jason rides a Harley, and, like, we like chasing girls. Like, all those things need to come back, you know? Everything's a big circle, and it's like, that vibe of the 80s rock, the late 70s, early 90s rock, like, those vibes are like, jokes now, where we think we're doing it justice, and we don't think we're very funny. We think, like, we're pretty serious about our rock, and it's like, it's not a funny type of rock, where hair metal, like, your Poisons and all that stuff is a joke. We're definitely a rock band, but we're not a joke. It's not funny. It's like, we're going to rock out and rip the place apart, you know? It's a good thing.
Nice. Let's just say, I'm going to give you a hypothetical here. Let's just say you see someone on iTunes and just out of nowhere they pick up Electric Sisters' album and they listen to it and they can only say one word to you, and that would be the perfect word to describe that album as far as you're concerned. What do you think it would be and why?
One word to describe the Electric Sisters' album?
Yeah.
Reckless. Reckless. I think reckless, because that's the way the vibe is when we feel when we're playing the music. It's kind of we're a reckless kind of vibe. You know, there's not a lot of things we're not afraid to try. You know, on stage we're monsters, and so yeah, that's a reckless record, and it feels reckless, and it. And if a listener said that would be super, super cool thing to say about us.
Speaking of which, I've been wanting to ask you this question, but I was waiting for a good segue. What are you guys like on stage? Like, how do you think you compare live as compared to the studio?
The musicianship on the record is, you know, the way that the other guys play the music and the way that I sing, it's like, we're trying to hit it right, you know. You're in the studio, and you're trying to make a good record that people can listen to and drive, you know, and be like, oh, it sounds really good. But I think live, it's more of a physical thing, you know. It's like a physical rock show where you're hitting the notes. Yeah, you need to hit the notes. You need to, you know, be on time. You want to be a physical riot on stage, you know. You want to have stuff going on, you want action packed, and the music lets you do that, you know. We're kind of violent on stage, and it's you know, we're going for that. We try to we're definitely going for it, you know. You should go to a show. I think you'd have a good time.
Where do you guys see yourselves in a year from now?
Probably 1 year from now, probably opening for hopefully some really bigger acts, or having a good package, you know, package build, touring around, and hopefully one or two songs on the radio, you know, something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just about what anybody else in our position would want, you know, some type of some fans who are really digging our tunes, you know. In about a year, we think that we could probably achieve that with some hard work. It should pay off.
Okay, if you could speak directly to, you know, the hard rock listener base of the United States, what would you tell them about Electric Sister?
Dude, if you're looking for some hard rock that's got no bull, no BS, then, you know, Electric Sister's the band for you, for sure.